So if you're new, I'm the, if you don't know me, I'm the youth pastor here. I get the awesome job of being with these kids all the time. And last month we've had 12 students receive Jesus as their Lord in the youth service. So that's been pretty awesome. And, that's a lot of fun working with them and just seeing what God's doing down there. A little more about me. Something that I like more than I should. Some of you have something like this. It's a Dr. Pepper. Way more than I should. In fact, one of the things I miss about being in my 20s is being able to drink it all day with little to no consequences. Anybody kind of remember that stage of life? I get jealous and I look at young people like, just enjoy it because it's going away someday. I used to, when I was a teacher, I would go to work and the other band directors would have like a thermos with hot coffee in it, right, to keep it warm. And I got me a thermos and it had iced Dr. Pepper in it. I just didn't tell anybody I wasn't drinking coffee. And I just, that was my thing. And actually, still today, I rank restaurants based on how good their Dr. Pepper is. Like some have really good and some is not. And then my wife likes to go to these restaurants with menu items I can't pronounce, you know? Like, I like hamburger and steak. That's the ones I, hers are like French and stuff. I have to point to the menu. I want that one because I can't say what it is. And they never have Dr. Pepper at these places. And I'm like, I don't want to go. Like, I don't care how good the food is if it doesn't have my Dr. Pepper. But a couple weeks ago, we went for my daughter's birthday. She picked a restaurant and we get there and I'd order Dr. Pepper. Emery gets a Dr. Pepper. That's my daughter. My son Kyler gets a Dr. Pepper. And my wife Tracy gets water. And she's trying to get the kids to do that, and I'm winning. It's an easy battle. So Emery gets her. She takes a drink. And she goes, Dad, this tastes gross. It's something weird. And so I get mine. I take a drink. And I was like, oh, that is weird. And so I'm waving at the waiter, and he comes back. I'm like, this does not taste right. Is this Dr. Pepper? And he goes, yeah, that's Dr. Pepper. And he goes, would you like me to get you another one? And I go, is it going to come from the same place? He goes, yeah. I'm like, no, it's going to be the same. The problem's not the glass, right? The problem's not this, okay? It's that source. It's where it came from. Okay, can you see the, I call it a Jesus juke coming? You think we're going here? I was like, we're going that way now. Some of you have some stuff in your life that doesn't taste good, right? There's some stuff in your life that you don't want there. And you've tried to deal with it, but the problem is you've only dealt with the cup. You haven't gone to the source. Like some of you, there's some things that you do and you don't want to do them anymore. There's a way that you respond in certain situations and you act and you're like, oh, I got to stop yelling like that. I got to stop acting like that. I got to stop giving in to that temptation. And there's things that you do and you don't want to do them anymore. And the problem is you haven't dealt with the source. You've tried to quit. You've done some surface things and whatever, but the source has to be dealt with if we're going to get past it. For some of you, it's not just what you do. It's something that you feel. Because you feel anxious or stressed out all the time, or you feel anger, or you have lustful things that you feel, or you have this pain and this hurt, this sadness in you, okay? And you don't want that there, and it's like, this isn't supposed to be here, and you tried to deal with it. Sometimes we try and deal with those kinds of things by like medicating it, like a substance that we use or abuse. I mean, sometimes that substance is ice cream or whatever that is, you know. There's something that you use to just feel better for a minute. I've noticed that for a lot of people, the thing that they use to medicate it is this. When we go on our fall retreat, we don't let the students take their phones because it's good for you for 2 days, okay? They're like, yeah, it's okay. And they hated it first, but they get over it. But the one student came and he said, I can't go to sleep at night if I don't have my headphones in. And I was like, why? He goes, because then I can just my own thoughts. I have to, if I have my own thoughts, I can't sleep. I have to have something to distract me so I can go to sleep. And so he's got this issue in his heart, right? That he can't even be in his own mind. He has to be completely distracted to go to sleep. And just medicating a problem, just kind of doing the surface level. And what we need to do is deal with the deeper thing. Now, I know that you know somebody in your life that has real issues. If it's your spouse, don't make any movements right now, okay? But like, you know someone that has real issues and you're gonna be tempted to think, oh, they need to be listening right now, okay? But I want you for just a few minutes to realize we all have issues and that we need to deal with ours this morning. Let God do what he wants to do. And so, I mean, I can't tell from the thing on the screen. The issue is we need to deal with our heart, right? That if we don't go to the source, which is in our heart, we're not going to be able to deal with these things that God wants to do and change in us. And I'm just going to give you the ending before we go through the middle. Okay, here's the ending of this. That God can heal your heart. Some of you have had hurts done to you, wrongs done to you, abuse done to you, pain that has happened, loss, okay, and has caused wounds and damage in your heart. He can heal it, and he can even do it this morning if you'll open your heart to him. Also, you have some of you have things that you do that you want to stop, or things you're trying to start. There's a change that you're trying to do that needs to happen, and that change can happen, and God can do that work in your heart. He can create a new heart in you so that you're able to move forward and do the things that he's called you to do. But we're not just going to deal with the surface level. We got to go back to the fountain machine and deal with what was really wrong, okay? And so we're going to look at some things this morning. I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 4 and just kind of start looking at the issues of our heart. And so Proverbs, in the first few chapters of Proverbs, it's Solomon is writing to his sons, or his son. He's like, son, and he's giving him all this wisdom on how to live life. And we're going to look at a little piece of that. This is in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. He says, son, or my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. I have to say, pay attention to my son all the time too. I just realized that. Pay attention, okay? But he's saying, pay attention, son, because I'm telling you something that's really important. Please don't let this get out of you. And then he tells him why. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. He's talking to his son, and he's like, son, I want you to know this because it's going to be life to you. It's going to bring health to you. This is going to make your life better. And of course, he wants that for his son. And then he says, above all else, he's going to tell him a lot of different things, a lot of different wisdom. But this one, he says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. I don't think that I can emphasize how much it is everything that you do flows from your heart. The quality of your marriage will flow from your heart. If there's heart issues, your marriage will have issues. The way you handle your finances is going to come from your heart. The type of friendships and relationships you have, the way that you work, all of this is going to come from your heart. And if the heart has issues, those areas of your life are going to have issues. In fact, if I can just be as dramatic as possible, in Romans it tells us that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. Somebody know it. Believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, and then you are saved. From your heart is going to flow your salvation. Okay, if our heart has issues, our life is going to be full of issues. And so he tells us here, see, this was written from Solomon to his son, but it's from the Lord to us, that we need to guard our heart because everything flows from it. This is kind of an image, if you can think of like a stream flowing, okay? And it has, there's a mouth of the stream. In fact, I read this story about this young shepherd who had his sheep, and he would take them to the stream to drink, but the stream was like dirty, it had debris in it, even had like animal droppings in it. And so when he would take his sheep to drink, he would scoop it out in a big bucket, set it aside until the stuff settled, and then he would slowly pour it into a trough so that his and through a filter so that his sheep would have water to drink. And this wise shepherd came by one day, saw what he was doing. He said, what are you doing? He goes, well, I do this every day. I got to get my sheep clean water. And he goes, there's a much easier way. Would you like to know it? He's like, yes, I would like to know it. So they go up the stream, up the mountain to the mouth of the stream, and they see there are some cattle that are getting in the mouth of the stream where it begins, and they're making a mess. All the mud, they're using it as their bathroom. All this goes, what we have to do, we're just going to build a fence around this, the mouth of the stream, and everything downstream will clear. Okay, this is what he's saying. When we deal with our heart and we clean up our heart, everything downstream changes, begins to clear up. Some of you have issues that you've been dealing with for a really long, 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 long time. If we can clean this up, you'll start to see change all through your entire life. So he says, everything that I do flows from it. Now, this is a powerful verse in the Old Testament, but this is also something that Jesus echoed over and over in his ministry. I'm not going to read all the times he talked about it, but I'm just look at one time Jesus talked about this idea for us. He said in Matthew 15, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. He says the things that come from your mouth, so when you talk, that comes from your heart. And there's another passage where he says from the overflow, remember we were talking about the flow just a second ago, the overflow of your heart the mouth speaks, or out of the abundance of their heart, the mouth speaks. So what he's saying is when we have a bunch of something in our hearts, it comes out. Now, this is something all of you have done probably, hopefully not alone. You said something, and right when you said it, you go, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Anybody else had that? I shouldn't have said that. Okay, thank you. Okay, so, yeah, all right. I know I liked y'all. Okay, yeah, you said something, I'm sorry, I don't, and you maybe even said, I don't know where that came from. And Jesus would go, I know. It came from your heart. And this verse really bothered me for a while. The reason it bothered me is because I kept thinking, okay, so this person said something, kind of, you've had someone say something hurtful to you before? And I thought, okay, they're usually nice, and then that came out. Does that mean that they have all that in their heart and it just finally bubbled up towards me? Like they actually feel that way. Like the other stuff's all fake and not, and that's the real them. Or maybe you've said something to your spouse or to a family member and you're like, is that what I really feel? Like I don't think that, but it came out. Does that mean that's what's in my heart? So let me just give you a little example of how this might play out. You get up in the morning and you get to work or school, okay? You get to work and there's somebody has messed up something that you were working on and now it's gonna cost you a lot of time. You gotta redo some stuff. And if you're not careful to forgive and let go, what happens is that frustration goes in your heart. And you're going through your day and somebody is short with you and you're like, what are they thinking? You know, they shouldn't act that way. And if you're not careful, what happens is that goes in your heart. And then you're driving home and there's a ton of people in there just trying to mess up your heart on the road. You know what I'm talking about? They're cutting you off. And if you're not careful, that little bit goes in your heart. And you get home and you look on the floor and there's the stuff you told your kids, put that up before you play video games. And you hear the video games and it's still on the floor. And then, you know, goes in your heart. And your heart's getting pretty full. And then you're poor innocent wife walks in the room and says, hey, did you take care of that thing yet? Wait, it's not my responsibility. What are you, and okay, blah, all this stuff comes out. She's like, whoa. Okay, I had just stored up stuff and wrongs all day in my heart. Okay, and this is an example, an illustration of one day. The problem is a lot of us have been storing stuff for years in our heart that doesn't belong. We've been accumulating wrongs and stuff in our heart and it sits there and it overflows on our family and the people we love typically the most. And if we're not careful, this kind of stuff comes out. Or it can be different things where we're storing in inappropriate things and sinful things. And it's like, oh, and it comes out. In fact, that's the next thing Jesus says. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Why do Christians slander each other? Why would we, I mean, nobody in here is going to be like, yes, I like to be a person that talks bad about others. And then we get that really good thing, okay? And it's like something in us, okay? There is something in our heart that needs attention, that needs to feel better about ourselves, whatever it is, that wants to get a laugh, whatever that thing is, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves slandering people, talking bad about people. Why would people steal from others? Something in their heart, a selfishness, I deserve this, a pride, you know, oh, I'm more than them, and whatever it is, there's something in the heart. What leads to believer into sexual immorality, lingering in conversations they shouldn't and letting stuff get in. Sometimes it's surprising what ends up being the thing that was in your heart that causes the pain, that causes the sin to come out. When I was leading a student ministry when I was in college, this one girl who was came to me and wanted prayer and was talking to me, and I could tell she really wanted to share something, but it was like really hard to get it out. So we just talked for a long time, and finally it came out, and she had recently ended had a relationship in that she had been in for a while, and she said that she did things in that relationship that she never thought she would do with somebody until she was married. And as she just kept talking, she said, I was just afraid that if I didn't, he would break up with me, and I was afraid of what my life would be like without him. And so what happened was there was this fear and this loneliness that she let just stick in her heart that God could have dealt with, and that drove her to sexual immorality. See, when we let things stay in our heart that aren't supposed to be there, we do things that we don't want to do, and it overflows into our life. And so what we need to do is deal with those things. Now, here's a thing for you, okay? If you see something in your life that doesn't belong, the outputs of your life, actions you don't want, behavior you don't want, or feelings that don't belong, Okay? I'm stressed out all the time. The Bible says just to have peace, but I'm stressed out all the time. That's an output that doesn't belong. You have fear all the time, okay? This is an output that doesn't belong. You're reading the scripture, it talks about the joy of the Lord. We sang it, I got joy in the morning. You're like, I don't know how these people got joy. I'm not feeling that. And you're seeing some other output. Okay. Then you need to realize there's a heart job that needs to be taken care of, a heart work that needs to be taken care of. And so we want to see what God can do to change those outputs. He's going to change our heart. And there's a role that we have, and there's a role that God's going to play, but I want you to know that your heart can change. David said it like this in Psalm 119. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever. He says, I incline my heart. Now think about this. If you're on a bike, okay, you're riding your bike, and you're on a decline, you can just cruise, right? Oh, I'm just chilling. This is easy. But we don't have that attitude with our heart. When you're on an incline, you make a decision to do it. You have to make a decision to go. And what I'm saying is we need to make a decision. I'm going to turn my heart towards God and what he has for me and what he wants. I'm going to incline my heart towards him and see the change that God wants to do. When I do that, it's going to change everything else in my life. So I want to say this. Don't accept, well, I just have a temper. Don't accept that in your life. Don't accept, this is just my temptation I do. Don't accept that. Don't accept that I just blow up sometimes. I'm just a sad person. I'm just sad. Other people happy. Don't accept that. Incline your heart to the Lord and decide, I'm going to be free from this, and God's going to do it from the source, from my heart. So I want to give us a couple of things, how that we see this happen. I'm going to go back where we started. Above all else, guard your heart. We have to learn to guard our heart. Now, I've done a four-part series and could have done more on just this one thing, on the ways and the things that we can do to guard our heart. But this morning, I just want to give us a couple simple things, okay? And they're almost too obvious, but sometimes we need the obvious reminded to us, okay? And so here's the first one, super obvious. If you're going to guard your heart, how to guard your heart is this. Don't let the wrong things in your heart. We just sit here and let stuff come into our lives that we need to say no to. We entertain ourselves with stuff all day sometimes that is putting junk in our heart. If the music you're listening to is filthy and stuff and it's full of junk, and then you go, I don't know why all this junk keeps coming out of my life. Because I'm putting junk in all day. I can't imagine what Solomon would have written if he could see what we look at on our phones all the time. There'd probably be a couple extra Proverbs in there, okay? Because he's like, all right, we're going to talk about this. Because we just let this stuff get into our lives. And we need to look at, it's like, hey, if I'm looking at gossip, 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 fear, 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 lust, 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 all day long on this, it's getting into our heart. And so for some of us, we need to go, okay, are there things that I'm consuming, things that I'm using every day that is polluting my heart? Sometimes it's a relationship, a friendship, that someone that is in your life, and this is usually one of the harder ones to deal with because it's really difficult to rearrange relationships and friendships. But sometimes there's a person that you work with or you're around that is putting junk in you, and you gotta go, man, they are dumping junk into my heart. The way they treat me, the things they talk about, whatever. And sometimes we need to go, hey, I gotta keep that out of my heart. Now, there's other things like when it comes to people talking. People are going to say mean things to you, okay? People are going to be rude. Those kind of things are going to happen. And they don't have to come into our heart. I'm going to talk in a second how that we can protect our heart from those coming in. But just as an example, okay? When someone does something wrong, if I forgive, it can't come into my heart. Does this make sense? I hold it with unforgiveness. So we have to learn to, when things are trying to get in that don't belong, go, hey, I have to keep that out of my heart. And so we don't let the wrong things in. And that goes to the next one. This should be obvious. Put the right things in your heart. You choose to put it in your heart. You need to decide things that need to be in there and put those things in. Jesus said this in Luke 6. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. So you can store things in your heart. You can put things in there, and then they're going to come out later. So if I had a cup, okay, and it was a plastic cup, and I took a thing of water, and I filled that cup up, and then I squeezed it. What comes out of the cup? Water. Wake up, all right? Okay, and or if I got another cup, and I got a can of Dr. Pepper, and I poured it in there, okay, bubbles, okay, and I squeezed it, what comes out? Dr. Pepper, because that's what's in there. And here's what I want you to see, or ask you, what comes out of you when you're squeezed? When the pressure's on, when somebody's really irritating, when you're really tempted, what comes out of you will be what you put in you. And if you put junk and stuff in you, when you get squeezed, that's gonna come out. And if you put the right things in you, when the temptation comes or the pressure comes or that irritation comes and you get squeezed, something different comes out of you. Suddenly you respond with patience or kindness or joy or self-control. These comes out of you when you've put the right things in you. I was talking to a student one time who had come through our youth ministry and was a young adult. And he had kind of gone through this thing where he would be real faithful for a while and then go away for a little bit. And then be real faithful to church for a while and then go away. And he was back and he was following God. And he was like, you know, I noticed that every time I'd be in church, I would be just different. I'd be more happy. I'd make different decisions. My whole life was different. And then I would get away and I just would do stuff I didn't like. I felt different. I didn't like that. And I don't know why I kept doing the stupid thing and getting out of church. Like, I don't know why I kept doing that. He's like, I'm glad I'm back. And here's what was happening though. See, when he was in church and he was faithful, he had these relationships that were putting good things into his heart. He was listening to the word and spending time in God's presence. It was putting things into his heart. And so then when the wrong things tried to come, there was no room for that because God had been filling up his heart. And we have to make the decisions to put the right stuff in. Let me show you a couple of scriptures that talk about this. This is one of my favorite passages, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So he's talking about prayer, and then he says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. That's what we're talking about. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer guards your heart. Prayer reminds us of God's faithfulness. It builds the trust and confidence in God. And so he's talking about people that are anxious and stressed out. When you pray, this is what happens. It puts the right stuff in your heart. It fills your heart with the right stuff. So then anxiety tries to come. You go, oh my God's got me. That struggle, that thing that used to mess you up, you're full. It can't get into your heart because you filled it up already. You've already decided that you're gonna fill it up with prayer. Here's another one. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So he says, okay, I'm gonna take God's word and I'm gonna put it in my heart. I'm gonna keep it there. And here's what happens. You put God's word in there, and he's talking about sin. When the temptation comes, it doesn't affect your heart because it's full of something else. They did a study of Christians that read their Bible 4 or more times a week versus those who read it less than that. And on Christians who read their Bible 4 or more times a week, they were 60% less likely to look at pornography than those who read it less. Because why is that such a big difference? Because they're putting God's word in their heart every day. And then when that temptation comes, there's something there to fight the temptation, that our heart is full. And so I don't know if you've ever noticed this when you're in sermons and services. It seems like a lot of times we come down to read your Bible and pray. You ever notice that? It's like, they're talking about read your Bible and pray again. Okay. And it's kind of like I do this. Okay. I was like, I need to get in better shape. I'm gonna be more healthy. And I start reading stuff online. It always is eat better and exercise. I'm like, I want to sit on the couch and drink Dr. Pepper. Like, you know, it's like, I don't want to do those two things. And, you know, I like the unhealthy foods. But it comes down to that. I need to get better next. Okay, so much of the time in our life, it's not complicated. We need to spend more time in God's presence. We need to get in his word and know him and put that inside of us. And it changes our heart. It changes our whole life. So we need to guard our heart. We can guard our heart by putting the right things in. We can guard our heart by keeping the wrong stuff out. And then here's the next thing. You can guard your heart by asking God to change your heart. Okay, the stuff we do. You have to decide, I'm not gonna look at that anymore. I have to decide, you know what? I'm gonna pick up my Bible, I'm gonna read it, I'm gonna go to church. You make those decisions, but also, this is huge. God can do things in your heart that you can never do on your own. He can change things and heal things and move things that you can never do on your own. So I think a great example of our need for this would be in the life of David. David, the one who killed Goliath, he became king, he's called the man after God's own heart, he's a great man. But he let his heart get messed up. And one day, the army went off to war, he stays home. And so he's at home, he's on top of his palace or whatever, and he's looking down and he sees a woman named Bathsheba, she's bathing. Now, if his heart was in the right place, he would have gone, whoop, not looking over there, okay. But his heart was not in the right place. And so he sends somebody to find out who she is, and they come back and say, oh, this is Bathsheba. Her husband is fighting in the war. His name's Uriah. And he doesn't care. He has her brought to him. He sleeps with her, and she gets pregnant. Now he's in trouble because he's going to get caught. So he sends for her husband to be brought back from the war. He pretends like he's just asking how the war's going. And I was like, now why don't you go home to your wife and just relax? Anyway, he's thinking he's going to think it's his baby. And Uriah is such a good man. He's like, he sleeps on the steps of the palace. He's not going to go home because his brothers are fighting in the war. He's not going to go home and rest. And so David writes a letter, sends it with Uriah, that he can't read it, to have Uriah killed in battle. So here's this great man who wrote many of the Psalms we read this morning. This great man of God, but his heart got turned and he committed a horrible sin. Adultery, murder. And then some time passes and a prophet comes to him and confronts him with his sin. And he's broken by his sin, realizing what he's done is wrong. So you can read this story. If you think the Bible's boring, go read this one, okay? It's 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. And there you can read the story of him and Bathsheba. And then if you go to Psalm 51, you will read the prayer that he prayed when he was broken by his own sin and realizing what he had done so wrong. And I want to show you one little part of that prayer that he prayed after this wrong. He prays to God. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. He asked the Lord, he says, Lord, I need you to create a clean heart in me. He recognized that there has to be something so wrong in my heart to go out and do this wrong thing. So he talks to God and he says, create in me a clean heart. And some of us need to go to God and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Because you have things that are coming out that don't belong. You yell at your family and you're like, I gotta stop doing this. You need to let the Holy Spirit get in your heart and clean out. You're struggling with some addiction or sin, and you need to turn to God and say, God, I need to get this out. I read some statistics this week that amongst practicing Christians, 50% look at porn on some sort of basis, 30% at least twice a month. And that's men and women. Men, it's a little higher. And that's of practicing Christians. And this is what I know. You don't want to. In fact, your heart, you hate it. And you've tried to quit. And what I want to say to you, you can turn to a heavenly Father who loves you and say, God, create in me a clean heart. And he will heal and change your heart. Now, that's not the only heart work you'll need to do to get through an issue. Many issues take different things, steps that you're going to take, but this is a huge step as you turn to God. And if you've got a sin and a struggle in your life and it needs to get out, you need to turn to your Heavenly Father today and say, I need you to get this out of my life with a broken heart. See, this is something that really bothers me, is that we have this attitude amongst many Christians, well, God's going to forgive me, so it doesn't matter. I can just do this. God will forgive me. He's going to forgive you. But let's not be okay with the very things that put Jesus on the cross in our life. The things that he died for, I don't want to be okay with. And if you've got that in your life, ask him to take care of the heart issue. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me. That means I want to stay strong after you. I don't want to be wishy-washy, steadfast, strong after you. Then I want to give you one more bit of hope, because I don't know if you know this, but Jesus came. Part of the reason he came was to heal your heart. So this is the last scripture we're going to look at. Isaiah 61, it says this, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. So this was written in Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus, okay? And then Jesus one day gets up in the temple, he grabs a scroll, skips to this part, reads this out loud, puts the scroll up. Everybody's just looking at him. And then he goes, today this has been fulfilled. What was he saying? This is talking about me. It was written about me. And what was written about Jesus? He says, he has sent me, the Father sent him to bind up the brokenhearted. What is bind up? What we're talking about was when you would get a wound, that they would bind it up so it could heal. If you get a broken arm, you go to the doctor, they don't go, wow, that's unfortunate, good luck. They set it, they bind it, they get it set so that it can heal. And this is what Jesus is saying he has come to do for our hearts, to bind them up and heal them. Because in this room, there's people that have been really hurt. And you don't need a cute, funny message. You need an encounter with the presence of God. See, I'm encouraged because I have seen what God does in the hearts of people that are hurt. I've sat in the room with a mom and dad who just lost their daughter in a car accident and seen the hurt and then seen how God brought healing. I've seen them. I've sat with the teenagers. They'll say, my dad won't talk to me. And I feel helpless as a pastor. What do you tell a little girl whose dad won't talk to him? Then the Holy Spirit comes in and changes their heart. And he can do it in your heart if you'll let him. Because some of you, your dad won't talk to you. Some of you, your spouse left you. Some of you were hurt. And Jesus came to heal your heart so that you can move forward in joy and peace and freedom. But you got to turn to him and say, Lord, I need you to heal my heart.